I'm sure many of you have heard the following saying, or maybe even used it various times in your life. The saying is, you know, what I say to you just goes in one ear and out the other. What this saying is describing is the common phenomenon of people hearing the sounds of speech, but then either ignoring or even despising what they hear. So why do we ignore or despise some of the things we hear? The reason is that we don't like what we hear. Now, of course, it's fine to ignore or despise what we hear if what we hear is wrong or evil. But what if what we are hearing is the Word of God? Well, then we should hear it, believe it, and act accordingly. But what if we hear the Word of God and then we ignore it or despise it? Well, then obviously we are deceiving ourselves and placing ourselves in a dangerous situation. And that's why James says, do not merely listen to the Word, do what it says. In other words, God wants you to be a hearer and a doer. Now, lest we think that these words written by James do not apply to us church-going Christians, we need to understand something. You see, James was not writing to unbelievers who never went to church and never heard the Word of God. No. James was writing to people like you and me, people who came to church in order to hear the Word of God. So what James is saying to them applies to us very well. But why would James need to tell them and us to be hearers and doers? Well, the reason is that we Christians are still sinners. And as sinners, we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're being faithful Christians when in reality we're actually rebelling against God. And that happens when we hear what we want to hear, and then we twist the meaning of God's Word to fit in with our own sinful notions. And my friends, the devil tempts us to do this more often than we realize. For example, we might hear a certain text of Scripture read on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but then we're tempted to pull it out of context and change its meaning so we can use it to support some evil desire that we want to justify in our lives. For example, maybe we hear Psalm 37, verse 25. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Now we hear those words, but the devil then tempts us to give them a meaning that God never intended. For example, we might say, did you hear that? The righteous will never be forsaken. Their children will never be hungry or in poverty. That means that if you're good, God will reward you with prosperity and He'll never let you suffer. So, obviously, those who are poor, those who are suffering, well, they must have done something wrong and they deserve what they're getting. So why should we help people who are in poverty? They're just getting what they deserve. I mean, everyone knows God helps those who help themselves. James was writing to some Christians who had that sinful attitude. There were orphans and widows in their midst, right in their own congregation. But they were passing them by. They were saying, be well fed, I hope things go well for you. But they wouldn't do anything to help them because in their minds they were thinking, well, if they were just a little bit more like me, they wouldn't be suffering. You know, such self-deception can also lead people to totally misunderstand our gospel reading for this evening. Mark chapter 7 tells us about Jesus healing a man who was deaf and unable to speak. But how would the devil like us to tweak our gospel reading? The devil would like us to say, see, that guy must have been a good person. That's why Jesus healed him. If you're a good person, eventually God will heal you and you won't have any problems. So those who are still sick, those who still have problems and they don't seem to go away. Well, they must have done something wrong, or they just don't have enough faith. James was writing to some Christians who had that sinful attitude. And sometimes we can catch ourselves thinking the same way. We look at people who constantly seem to be going through hard times, and the devil tempts us to think, well, you know, maybe for some reason they deserve it. I mean, things are going good for me. It must be going good for me because I'm better than that person. Let me give you another example. In Romans chapter 7, Paul writes these words. We have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now the devil would love for us to hear those words, pull them out of context, and give them a totally different meaning than God intended. For example, let me show you a common way some people today in churches are actually interpreting this verse. They will say, there you go, did you hear that? We Christians don't need to follow the law. We don't need to obey the Ten Commandments anymore. Because you see, the Spirit has set us free from that outdated ancient morality. We're now free to live in the new way of the Spirit. We live in the way that the Spirit leads. And we don't have to follow those medieval codes. James was writing to Christians who were thinking like that. They were thinking, hey, we're being led by the Spirit, so you can't tell me that I'm doing wrong. In fact, if you tell me that I'm doing wrong, you're still stuck in that old way of following the law instead of living in the new way of the Spirit. God is still speaking. Follow the Spirit, then you can live in a new way. Yes, they were embracing evil ideas, following the ways of the world, and then claiming that they were following the Spirit. Now, I could give you many other examples of how the devil wants us to actually hear the Word of God, twist it, and then convince ourselves we're actually living as faithful Christians. The point is this. James is saying that we should be hearers and doers. In other words, we should hear the Word of God, believe its true meaning, and then act accordingly. With that said, I now have two important points I need to make. The first point is this. There is no doing without hearing. There is no doing without hearing. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit uses God's Word to give us repentance and faith in Christ, which results in a life of godly obedience. Now, what do I mean by godly obedience? Well, not only do I mean that Christians should actually do what God wants them to do, but even more, godly obedience means that we're obeying God for the right reasons. You see, God wants us to obey as a loving response to His mercy to us in Jesus. In other words, we Christians don't obey because we're trying to impress people and show them how holy we are. We don't obey because we're trying to convince God that we're worthy of His love. No. Instead, we Christians obey because we are forgiven. And God's love is moving us to respond in joyful obedience to His will. Therefore, if we do not hear the Word of God, we simply can't be doers either. In other words, outwardly we can do good things, but if we're not hearing the Word of God, if the Spirit is not transforming our hearts, if the love of Christ is not what's moving us to do good things, then all of our supposedly good works are simply an abomination before God. And so there's no doing without hearing. Sadly, there are some people who don't hear the Word of God at all because they don't attend church and they don't read the Bible. But even we who do attend church, even we who do read the Bible, we can also end up ignoring what God's Word is saying to us and actually living contrary to it. That's a temptation we all face. In fact, if we get into the habit of hearing what we want to hear, we might find that we will actually get angry when we do hear the correct meaning of God's Word. In fact, anytime our sinful nature actually hears the truth, our first impulse as sinners is to want to back away from it. That's why James says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God requires. Simply put, as I said, our sinful nature doesn't want to hear the pure teaching of God's Word. You see, as sinners, we'd rather speak our own opinions and have God listen to us. But when things don't work out that way, when God forces us to shut up so we can listen, the temptation then is to actually get angry with God when He forces us to hear the truth. That's what our sinful nature does. But the good news I have for you tonight is that God uses His Word to set us free from our spiritually deaf ears. Jesus opens our ears so that we not only hear His Word, but we also believe His Word and act accordingly. And when we hear and believe God's Word, we then respond by confessing our sins and trusting in Jesus, who forgives our sins and also gives us the desire to live according to His will. And that's why James wrote these words. He says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. In other words, acknowledge your sin, run from it, and embrace the Word of God, which says that in Christ you are forgiven, and in Christ you will be moved to live a new life. Now, the second point I want to make is this. There is no hearing without doing. There is no hearing without doing. In other words, if you truly hear and believe God's Word, then the result will be a life of joyful obedience. So those who claim to hear God's Word, but then refuse to confess their sin, refuse to seek Christ for mercy, and refuse to obey God's will, then such people are not hearing God's Word at all. But as I said at the beginning of the sermon, the Word of God is simply going in one ear and out the other. However, when God's Word is planted in us, when God's Word has its way with our hearts, the result will be a life filled with conviction over sin, a life filled with faith in Christ, and a life filled with a desire to do God's will. And that's why James writes these words. He says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, what does James mean when he talks about the perfect law that gives freedom? Well, he's talking about God's law, the Ten Commandments. And why do they give us freedom? Because they show us that we are in bondage to sin. The Ten Commandments actually show us that we're slaves of the devil. The Ten Commandments show us the truth, that we're enslaved to our own rebellion against God. But that gives us freedom because then God uses that humility created by the Ten Commandments to point us to Jesus, who forgives our sins and sets us free to live as God's dearly loved and pure children through Jesus. So to look at the perfect law that gives freedom means that every day we realize we are sinners who are set free and forgiven by Jesus, and through Him we now live a new life. That's why James wrote what he did at the beginning of our reading. He said, God chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. You see, God uses His Word to convict us of sin, but God also uses His Word to give us faith in Jesus, who died for your sins so that you might receive mercy and live a new life. That's why James writes what he does later on in chapter 2 when he says, mercy triumphs over judgment. In other words, the only reason God uses His law to judge us is so that in our humility He might lift us up with His mercy. And that's where the new life of following Jesus begins. So as Christians, you get to be hearers and doers. In other words, God has given you new birth through His word of truth. And so when you hear God's word, you also want to do it. Now, this doesn't mean that when you leave tonight, you will live a perfect life. By no means. In fact, we Christians are always struggling with our sinful nature, and we're always being tempted by the devil to ignore or despise God's word. And that's exactly why James wrote what he did to church-going Christians back then, and that's why God also makes sure that we have heard these words from James tonight, because we need to hear them too. We need to hear these words so that we might repent and humbly accept God's word planted in us, which can save us. In closing, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God's word will move you on a daily basis to confess your sins and then trust in Jesus for mercy, who will give you the strength and the desire to do God's will. God's mercy and love will give you a peace that's beyond all understanding. And that peace will result in a desire to turn from sin and do the good things that God wants you to do. So when you leave tonight, rejoice. Rejoice that because of Jesus, you get to be hearers and doers. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard